Hello and welcome to Future Imperfect. I'm your host, Admiral Phillips, and joining me is the exo of the U.S. Future Imperfect.
That's right. It is I, Captain Mike the Birdman Dodd, and welcome as we invite you onto this podcast of Trek as we talk about our adventures across the stars, either be it with Starfleet, SFI.org, or perhaps some other adventures, be them on television, even the role-playing game, or just talking Trek in general. Maybe we find a topic, maybe we find some science to talk about, but we always have something different to talk about here on Future Imperfect here on the show. So I guess since last time we did a Future Imperfect, you had a chance to go to the Michigan Science Center, was it?
Yep.
And you did a kind of like a pub trivia night or something down there. So why don't you give us the debriefing from that event?
Well, the debriefing was is they had Starfleet International was there. The International Fan Association was there. Their president of the organization was there. Got to meet him and got to meet a number of people from the USS Sinclair, which is a Michigan chapter, meeting chapter. Brought my podcast digs to be set up. I was to be co-hosting the trivia event with a member of the Michigan Science Center originally, and the person that was supposed to help ended up having a bunch of people that showed up that they invited and went to do that. And so I found out about 5 minutes before I was supposed to start it that I was going solo. With the headset and everything, I did have the batteries go out on me in the middle of it. So that rule of check your equipment and double check it and triple check it to make sure everything works fine, that didn't apply to my own equipment. It applied to theirs because the batteries went out on me in the middle of the trivia event. But yeah, it was a 45-minute run. It was pretty much the only thing to do the whole time other than what the Starfleet International people brought, which was a space flight simulator thing. Mm-hmm. They had a few things. They had like an open bar. They had some food stuff there. I got comped for the bar because I was working the event. Had some rather interesting conversations with elderly people that grew up watching sci-fi in the days of string and models being floated in front, which was rather interesting. And this old lady managed to tell me the original series Stardate.
Oh, wow.
Because I had the Stardate app on my phone and I was pulling them up and I was like, I'm going to be funny about this because there are going to be people that know entirely more than I do. And there were people that were that they knew like ships, episodes, planets on those episodes, cast in those episodes, which was just ridiculous. I thought I was a huge nerd and I was like just blown away. There was a total of 110 points that somebody could score for the game. Nobody scored higher than 38 points.
Ouch.
It was tough. There was a lot of questions. Some of them were severely easy that I would have even figured out. Some of them, it went down to like, what is the name of like Captain Picard's fish in his
ready room.
Yeah. And I was just like, and it was like Livingston or something like that. I was like, I would have never guessed that. And they had Chief O'Brien's cat, which was like in one episode of DS9. And like it was just the weirdest thing in the world. But yeah, it was a lot of fun hosting that. It definitely gave me the itch to do something like that again, especially when I started getting comfortable. And like the first round was a little rough. And then right around the second round, when I started recording it for the podcast purposes, it got more fun and I was able to screw with them a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Because I was comfortable and I knew who was going to react and who wasn't by the end of the first round. And there were four rounds. So like there was a scene where it was asking something about the Enterprise. I think the original one. And I went, did the Scotty line from Relics, which got a nice hearty laugh. of the when he's going to the holodeck and says, "No bloody A, B, C, or D," and then everybody just started roaring laughing. And some of the people that were liquored up pretty good were shooting out the answers very vocally, and I'm like, "Don't you people want to win? Like, why are you giving away the answers?" But yeah, people are just having a blast with it. And that was like the most exciting thing, like the whole night, because everybody was looking forward to that from the hour leading up to it. And then after that, it was kind of just everybody just kind of drifted all over. Because you could look around the museum too. I kind of wish there was more, and they were a little surprised that people came dressed up. And I says, "I'm surprised there's not more people and more people dressed up." Because I says, us Trekkies are pretty hardcore into our gear. And I brought all of my com badges with me to look at the table, and people would come check them out. And a couple of people thought that they were prizes, and I was like, "No."
Yeah, nope, fuck that noise.
I was like, nope. And so yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I got a nice round of applause at the end, and some people thanked me for it at the end, and it was a lot of fun. I would so do something like that again.
Well, that's pretty cool, man. I'm definitely glad you had a good chance to represent not just the show, but to be an ambassador for technically our local chapter and our ship. So good work.
Thanks.
I kind of wish I could have been there for something like that, but maybe next event, or maybe next time when I'm traveling a little bit more easily.
Yeah, I know they do events there about every, it's like the third Thursday every month. They have different themes. Like, I think this month is like zombies or something, and then next month is something else. I'm not entirely sure. And I know December is robots, so I'm wondering what that's going to be. But yeah, they're like, "Yeah, if you want to come back, just let us know." And I'm like, "Okay, sounds great." Because I probably will. So getting into a little bit of our Trekdom here, Trek news, we have CBS doing their I Own You clause against Stage 9, that fan project of the Enterprise D that was in virtual reality, probably killed because Ubisoft has that one for the Bridge Commander.
Which is pretty cool that the fan one came along so far and it was looking pretty neat, but kind of sucks that, you know, I own everything. Destroy, delete, C&D. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it was shut down with a cease and desist, which is unfortunate because like they had a lot of the ship from the show built using the Epic Games Unreal Engine to recreate it. And you could have used like Oculus Rift or the HTC Vive and explored the ship. And it was very, I don't know, stellar to look at. I'd kind of looked at a lot of the videos and it was for free and it was just created for fans. Like, they weren't making anything or trying to make anything off of it. But CBS was like, no. And they gave him a cease and desist in like September to quit doing it. So they had to make it disappear because, you know, CBS has an Enterprise D DLC pack for Bridge Crew, which
is nowhere near as good as this thing, I'm guessing.
Oh, no, it's not. And that's the unfortunate part is like, rather than incorporating that or hiring these people, like, you know, if like a hacker were to hack into like Microsoft or Google, like more often than not, they would be like, "Hey, you figured out a loophole. Hey, you want a job?" Like, I mean, it would kind of just make more sense to swallow it up and incorporate it, you know, even if you didn't pay them for what they did so far, like to at least kind of bring them on.
Well, and you know, the thing's never going to totally disappear from the internet. It's going to be on the gray market, or not the gray market. It's going to be on the web forever in some capacity anyway.
Oh yeah, so, somebody's going to have it on torrent or something. I mean, that's just the nature of the world now.
I mean, sure, you've stopped it here, but what's to complete another? Like, if somebody really wanted to pick this project up and finish it, they could. I mean, all they're doing is cutting the head off of one snake. Another one's going to pop up.
It's like Pirate Bay.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, woo, you stopped me. Who? 10 minutes later, I'm back. It's like Great Cthulhu. You sure you can kill him, but you can never truly destroy him. So I don't know. It's just such a pain in the ass. I don't get it. CBS, why would you throw away such an awesome project? Like I said, swallow them up, offer them a really crappy payout. Sure, you'll take some hits in PR, but you'll own a really neat IP and a really neat piece of work. And I don't know, just support game development. I don't know. I'm angry at this. I'm angry.
Yes, me too. So in other gaming news, we have Star Trek Online's Age of Discovery expansion, which dropped actually today, the 9th of October. And it basically allows you to start the game with a Discovery character, and you get to start in the Discovery timeline instead of like the current game. You can start in the original series, and you can start in 2409 as if you're on the Federation. Like, either way, like, if you were, like, you can even play as a Jem'Hadar now, which is in the current timeline. You get to skip everything that's happened before, and they've actually made it now in the game with this expansion that you don't have a level cap that you have to hit before playing certain episodes within the game now, which is actually really nice, because there's points where I had to play levels over again to hit a certain level, which totally sucked. But Age of Discovery kind of reminds me of when they did the Delta Force thing. And what I mean by that is they start you off on Earth by Starfleet Academy, and you meet up with, you know, people that you're going to be working with, basically your crew, and then you get to name your ship and all this other stuff. And then there's going to come a point where a particular person that has to do with time travel is going to show up. And it happened in the Delta Force thing as well, although it came up a little bit differently. So you can also customize the uniforms now. To where they match like Captain Pike's from Discovery.
Oh.
So you can leave the collar a different color and change the rest of the uniform, which is really nice, because I've already done that so far as I created the new character, because I don't know how long they're going to let you do some of this stuff. And you get a nice, you get to, in this game, you get to, at least part one of Age of Discovery, you get to board the USS Glenn, you get to defend Starbase One, you get to come with face-to-face with a new matriarch character of one of the houses, sister of T'Kuvma, basically. And then they've redone a lot of things. I also noticed that the graphics, the aesthetics, have gotten so much more defined and crisp since this expansion. Like, it was a huge expansion. It was going for like 3 hours earlier. Which is like the biggest that I've ever had on this game download recently. And it even made me upgrade my graphics driver.
Oh.
To use it. And getting in, everything is very because with every expansion, they kind of skin and theme things according to that expansion. So everything's got that kind of Discovery look to it right now.
Okay.
But the graphics in space, like your starship, a lot of the other stuff is just so much more defined than it was previously. So I haven't played the expansion yet, but I look forward to doing that later on. But I definitely thought it was worth mentioning. So, kind of moving on to Star Trek Discovery, since we're on that. We called it. Spock is in the show.
Of course, because they're not going to have Spock. And Discovery, we know it's going to get picked up for season three. We're going to see the Enterprise crew.
Well, and they have Majel Barrett's character.
Nurse Chapel or whatever?
No, number one.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah.
Which is being played by, she was Mystique in the X-Men movies.
Oh, Rebecca Romijn or whatever?
Yep, she's playing number one in the second season. And actually, the side-by-side that they did with the hair design and everything, she looks pretty close. How they dressed her up in it. And actually, I like the Discovery uniform aesthetic for the original series type of look.
Yes, they look sweet looking.
And I know that all they did was just recolor the Discovery uniforms
and just give them like a sheen and everything, but it's a nice looking update.
I do like it. I will say that it gives it kind of that overcoat that it kind of fits with the whole aesthetic that they get in the Wrath of Khan with the red wrap over type of overcoat.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of fits with that aesthetic, and then they kind of continue that anyway through like DS9. So it's kind of a nice nod to update those old uniforms. So I never was a fan of the ones from the Cage, and I was kind of more of a fan of the Shatner era ones, but even then, like, they look kind of hokey. Mm-hmm. So it's very fitting. And then they have Ethan Peck, who's playing Spock, basically having to try and fit within the realm of Spock, but also be the younger version, who somehow ties into this whole thing. And we kind of made a number of predictions. I know I did prior, and I had this whole predictions and thoughts thing as I was going through Discovery and even through the series, the season finale. I don't know if you're interested in hearing some of these.
Oh, but, of course.
The one I was wrong about was Georgiou is offed by Burnham.
Yeah, I kind of figured they would have killed her, but keeping her around is kind of fun.
Well, they're bringing her into Section 31, which is going to be interesting to see how that plays out, and with her with the face changing thing, almost kind of Romulan tech. Some of the ones I'm right about, though, which is funny. Dr. Culver will be revived and healed via Spore Network and Stamets, because they're going to bring him back.
Yeah.
I guess this before this whole thing happened, like before season one roundup happened, but the Spore Network communique between Mirror Stamets and Stamets connected, you know, to resolve and heal the thing and send them home. Tyler being the first human hybrid Klingon in the series. The Spore Drive deemed to be dangerous upon return to the Prime Universe in favor of working on, you know, transwarp technology. And then Tyler fixed to remove Klingon mind and keep Tyler overlay. And then Spock actually showing up in the show.
Yeah.
So doing pretty well there. But the nice thing is we'll actually get a fleshed out Captain Pike and Number One in this show.
I'm guessing my predictions, I think we're going to see Tholians. I really do. I think we're going to see more of the original series aliens. Like, I'd like to see more Tellrites, because you never see them. Or if you do, they're in the background for all of like a few seconds, or you might get like a minor character. We'll see more Andorians, my guess is. I know we saw one in Discovery, I think. We'll probably, as you mentioned, the Romulans.
I bet we're going to see Romulans in this, despite nobody ever seeing them between Enterprise and Kirk in the Balance of Terror. I think that they'll have something to do with the whatever the Red Angel thing is.
Yeah. Although, you know what? Considering this is more or less a soft reboot of Star Trek anyway, they're going to throw all the rules out the window anyway. If it fits the story and it makes people interested in Star Trek again, they'll do whatever they have to bring in viewers. I assure you, this is not going to be our grandparents' Trek. This is a Trek for 2018. And the series Bible, they're like, yeah, that's pretty cool for 1960, but welcome to 2018. And things are going to change radically. I promise you.
I don't see them like changing everything. Like, aesthetically, yes, I see them changing things, because in the original series, they just didn't have the technology that they had. And even Discovery's like one-ups, you know, makes TNG and DS9 and Voyager even look bad. In that regard, it fits kind of that cinematicness of the films, for sure. But, I think as long as they like like, I don't really particularly have a problem with some of the updates, albeit the Klingon issue, although they did say that there's 24 houses and we've only seen 12 so far and they all have this goofy aesthetic. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking the other 12 will be the dominant species in, you know, TOS and the film and TNG era. So that's what we're going to see there. Mm-hmm. I do like that they're bringing back the Klingon hair.
Yep.
Which will be nice. So we'll have the ridges, we'll have the hair, they just have the goofy color now, which could be explained somehow. I'm sure they'll figure something out. But I'm glad that they have that. They also revealed that the classic Klingon ship is hidden in the Discovery Season 2 trailer.
Which I thought that was actually pretty badass. See, and that's what, a DX or a D7 something or other?
It's a D7, yep. And yeah. And the Romulans even used it briefly for a minute there too.
Yeah, there was a lot of really neat Easter eggs hidden in the New York Comic Con trailer. It looks cool. Like I said, the more I see for Star Trek Discovery Season 2, the more excited I am about it. So I'm genuinely hoping that Season 2 lives up to expectations. It's premiering in January, which is a lot sooner than I thought, because I figured they would have waited till, honestly, I figured they would have done something for like Super Bowl. But I guess they're ready to go. They're ready to rock. I know they're working on this down in Toronto. So party on. Like I said, I'm stupid hype for this. In fact, one of the other things that they're kind of doing to build excitement and for the CBS All Access service, we get it up here in Canada for free. We get these short treks, and they just released the first one over the weekend. And the first one was called Runaway, and it features my favorite character from Discovery, Ensign Tilly, running into this alien runaway and her story over the course of 15 minutes. Basically, it's a little slice of life for certain characters aboard the Discovery. And I don't want to give it away because it's a really neat story. A lot better production value than I was expecting.
Well, they managed to capture what they're trying to do with the Discovery and with the limited budget that they have, which they probably blew on that because it was essentially a Star Trek fan film produced by CBS. And not that that's a bad thing, because it was a character profile kind of not really focused on the alien, but on Tilly herself. And that's what the goal is to kind of broaden the scope of some of these characters between Tilly, Saru, and Harry Mudd. And there's another character that I, for the life of me, can't remember because they haven't introduced him yet. But he's going to be another one of the shorts. And then, yeah, so I mean, I'm kind of interested to see what they do on some of these, just building their backstory with these characters.
And it has the potential to bring in new fans. I showed it to my wife and she wasn't completely disgusted by it because she hates Star Trek.
My wife does too.
And she's watching it with me and she wasn't turned off by it. She wasn't turned on by it, but she wasn't turned off. And I think that says something because this isn't Star Trek where it's just them sitting on the bridge yelling at each other. This is something a little different. And that's something television and storytelling has evolved over the course of 50 years from the 60s to now. Just the times are different. Storytelling is different. The medium is different. So you can do a lot more in how you portray characters, situations, even little things like camera movements and editing can help focus a story. Cause Steve, you've got a film background, so you understand all this.
Mm-hmm.
Even watching TNG to compare it to something now, right? Just it's a different method of television.
Oh yeah, it's all different methods. They're going for a more cinematic feel on this show, which is why it's shinier, which is why it's got a lot of the dark angles, because it, you know, it helps budgetary wise. Having a lot of the dark spaces because you don't have to show as much detail. And then so it allows them to kind of play in the gray area of it, as it were. And plus they've got not necessarily a bigger budget, but the way that they're allocating things is a little bit different for this show compared to back in the day when you had TNG, DS9, and Voyager, where they had like limited sets. And and not that you don't have that in this show, but it's a different vibe. Like, it's just totally different. And TNG kind of fits with that aesthetic that the Orville has, shot in the same way, like not cinematic, more, you know, television budget production, different types of cameras. You know, you get the multicam in some of the shows and some of them you don't. So, I mean, it's just, it's a totally different vibe. So yeah, I get it. Like, a lot of the stuff that was made in the 90s wouldn't kind of float now, other than shows that are kind of trying to use that method on purpose to harken back to the nostalgia of it. But yeah, it's still different.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I can think of we really have to talk about, unless you've got anything else you want to bring up before we close out the show.
Captain Picard.
Oh, Captain Picard. All right, go ahead.
Yes, Captain Picard. The producers for his show, which are Alex Kurtzman and Heather Caden, have confirmed that the new Picard series being developed for CBS All Access is planned as an ongoing series, which is totally different than what everybody thought. Like, the original rumors and assumptions was that the show would be a limited series, like a one-off, one-season run of Picard. But Caden has specifically said that they are planning for the show to run for multiple seasons, which is a little worrisome because Patrick Stewart is kind of getting up there in age.
They probably want to get their most money out of it. They probably backed a truckload up to his house, like, all right, Patrick, what do you want? Here's what we're offering. Can you do it?
Because, I mean, he's only 11 years younger than Shatner.
And Shatner's pretty much old as the dinosaurs now anyway.
Well, Shatner's 89, but somehow he's still, you know, he's still trucking. I mean, he's not doing much physical acting, but he's doing a lot of voiceover stuff lately. But I still think he could pull off a Kirk, albeit not the fighting version.
If he was sitting in a chair, Kirk.
Yeah, if he was sitting in the chair, Kirk, or just kind of walking through the ship, you know, usage of that, or like, you know, if you went the way of like, if Picard had to, you know, summon, you know, I would like to see like Q show up in this new show.
And oh, then, like, I assure you, John Delancey's on board somewhere.
I would love for that to happen. And I know a lot of the original TNG cast wants to be there. And I think that there's plenty of room that the TNG, DS9, and Voyager people could all kind of collectively pool in there. With this new show, like, you know, sporadically as the story, you know, needs
dictates, it. Basically, yeah. Well, it's going to come down to budget, availability, and the writers. Because honestly, the Captain Picard show is going to be, we're getting the gang back together. We're getting the band back together. And it's basically to make Trek fans happy, which it is.
But it's go ahead.
It's a risk too, because you risk alienating new fans that are coming in via Discovery now. Because as much as we love the Prime universe, maybe it's, and this is probably be a controversial opinion, the Prime universe had its run. Maybe the new Trek should be blazed by Discovery with a few rules set in place by the old series, by the old guard. If you're going to reboot it, go the whole way.
Well, see, this is my thing with it. I agree with you. But I think that they should not have tried to pigeonhole Discovery in the Prime universe.
Yeah, I think that was a mistake.
I think that's where 90% of the problem with the fan backlash is. If they had just said that, hey, we're rebooting Star Trek for a modern era, we're going to take it in a different direction. We're not going to focus on any of the characters from the previous time, although some may show up. They're not going to be, you know, the primary characters. And just kind of left it at that, that, you know, we're using the original as kind of like a guideline, like you said, and not really using it as that timeline anymore. I think that it would have went over a heck of a lot better than what it is at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if they'd done it like, say, Battlestar Galactica did, which was a soft reboot, yeah, it was a continuation. The first Cylon War happened, but it was essentially a different universe. Like, the events of the original series, as far as I know, didn't happen. So, if you're going to reboot it, dive in the pool and take the plunge. Don't be a pussy about it. Just go for it. Because what have you got to lose? The Star Trek name still prints money today. And if you treat the property well with the right writing, actors, et cetera, you're going to do fine.
See, and this is my thing, too, is with the Picard show, it could go one of two different ways. Because we do have, we're missing, essentially, like, we get the first 20 years after Picard. Or after Nemesis in Star Trek Online. And then it jumps to 2409, pretty much after that. 2408, 2409, and then 2410, 11, and 12 for the most part. And then it jumps like another 100 years, another 150 years, and kind of, you know, so there's a lot of gaps.
Mm-hmm.
And Discovery will fit in one of the other gaps in the Star Trek Online game, because Star Trek Online is a thing officially like a CBS sanctioned like official timeline of everything kind of spitballed into one. And they use Agent Daniels as kind of their glue for some of the aspects of certain characters, basically your character of how he fits in the timeline. Your specific character, but like the actual Star Trek television series events and films all fit within the game. So there is that. But like the new Picard show, because it's going to be 20 years after Nemesis, we don't actually have any of that timeline fleshed out in Star Trek Online.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially it's going to be filling another hole that I see in there. I mean, and yeah, they could rewrite the game around it or in the history, which, you know,
my guess is they probably will.
They probably will, but it probably will, being that they've got this nice like 30-year gap.
But I can't think of many examples where a game overwrites television. It's always the other way around.
Well, they've not had any of the TNG crew or cast in Star Trek Online other than Worf and Geordi. Like, nobody else has made a presence from the TNG cast other than like Tasha Yar, and like there was like a brief glimpse of Data. But mm-hmm. like they purposely insinuated that it's Data with like the way that the hand appears, like the glowy, like kind of olive skin.
Yeah.
But they didn't actually show him. And but Geordi and Worf are the only two TNG casts that are actually shown with like their evolution at the year 2409, where Worf's an ambassador and Geordi is the captain of the USS Challenger Galaxy class ship. So there's really no history with any of them post Nemesis in the game. So there's still plenty of room that they could play with any of them, really. Mm-hmm. And Geordi, they kind of insinuated he was going to be the captain anyway in Voyager, in that time travel episode.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a, you're going to see something along those lines, and I don't care if they change in the game. I mean, it's not a big deal, but the true question that it kind of makes me wonder is if they're going to go post All Good Things and just completely ignore the films, or if they're going to take it from the end of Nemesis and go, because technically, I mean, CBS owns all of Star Trek, but the film rights and a lot of the merchandising and a lot of the marketing for it goes to Paramount.
My guess is the path of least resistance will be post Nemesis, if they wanted to keep the most people happy and the less people confused.
That's kind of my thought too. Which means that you can have Jonathan Frakes possibly come back as, you know, captain or Admiral Riker of the Titan. You could have really any of them come back. And Michael Dorn's been dying to come back to Trek for, you know, since DS9 ended.
Mm-hmm.
And since Nemesis. So, I mean, I think that would, you know, be a good way to start getting these guys back in the game if they wanted to, because a lot of them loved it, especially the TNG cast. Like, most of those people were, like, the most enthusiastic about Trek, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be, you know, I think that even if, I don't think they'll alienate that many people with the Picard show, because it's Patrick Stewart. People are familiar with him from X-Men. People are familiar with him from various things that he's popped up in over the recent, like, 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, he hasn't been associated with Trek since 2002. So, I mean, really, people would have a totally different expectation of liking him for a totally different reason. And those that would be interested in the Picard series would, chances are, go back and watch TNG on CBS All Access.
Yeah.
So I know I'm super pumped for the Picard show.
I am cautiously optimistic is how I would quantify my opinion on it. Other Trek news, I kind of wanted to talk about this because I think it's kind of neat. So as you guys know, I do another show with a website called TerribleWarriors.com, which is a role play podcast. And we have a Patreon, which is Patreon/TerribleWarriors. And last couple weeks ago, rather, we played a Star Trek role-playing game. We played with the new rules by Modiphius Entertainment, so Star Trek Adventures. We played in the classic era, which is something I know nothing about. I've seen 5, maybe 6 episodes of the original series. So we're in the disco haircuts and the ridiculous bright colors and the cardboard rocks and everything. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So our mission was, we were delivering medical supplies to a planet that had been taken over by this fever that really affected Tellrites. It was like a Tellrite colony. And we're playing 20 years after the Federation has been established. I played an Andorian. I'm actually going to pull up my character sheet on my computer here just so I can read you my name here. My name was, where are you? I was, where? Adobe? Bugger off. There we go. My name was Thos the Thran, or Thran. I was Andorian. I was born on Earth. My parents went to the Daystrom Institute. They were scientists there, and I chose to be an army grunt joining Starfleet, but I didn't go to the academy. I stuck it and was an enlisted person, and I became eventually the chief petty officer of the USS Lexington, which was our ship, and the wacky adventures thereof. One of the cool things about Star Trek is you start playing one character, but because you can't expect one character to do everything, like, a guy on the bridge can't do everything. So our GM had us create support characters. I created a nurse named Nurse Lovecraft, who is my character's love interest. And then I created another character who was one of the engineers in engineering when our ship was disabled by a saboteur and we're drifting towards the Klingon neutral zone. And there's a couple of warbirds just sitting there waiting for us to cross the border so they can blow the hell out of us. So we have 3 hours to fix the ship, not in real time. And it was ridiculous because my character's very military, very tough, very Andorian, right? Because they're basically blue Klingons. But at one point, I get to play a different character. I'm a Tellrite. And his nickname was Ollie. And I kind of played him like this, sir. And I played him like Shorzy from the television show Letterkenny, which is on Hulu. Really, watch that show. It's the most ridiculous crap you'll ever see. I grew up near this place. And I'm like, well, sir, you fucked my ship. Get out of my engineering section. And I'm basically, I'm, I'm insubordinate. I'm such a jerk. But our Vulcan XO was like, well, if you need me to get out of engineering, I guess I will do that. Get out of here, you green-blooded stupid head. Stuff like that. And I said something a lot worse. Stuff like that. And it was just the most ridiculous amount of fun I've had playing Star Trek. Because the last time we played Star Trek was I played in high school with the last Unicorn system for Star Trek The Next Generation. And the only thing I remember is our captain slept with every ensign that he could, because that's the way things went. We had Ensign Finger in the Socket and Lieutenant Bullseye.
Right.
So they were our security personnel. But no, seriously, it was a lot of fun. I know the reason I brought this up is because I know on the show, we play a different role-playing game every month, but we've been playing The Living Campaign, which is written by Modiphius, and I'm really stuttering on that word tonight. Modiphius, there we go. Ah, beat you. Victory. They release a new chapter every so often, and it's a part of an ongoing story, which parts of The Living Campaign take place in the 23rd century. Some parts take place in the 24th century, and at some point they're going to collide. So I don't know whether we played The Living Campaign or whether this was something my game master Justin came up with, but it got me interested in Classic Trek. Because I didn't think, to me, Classic Trek has always been super boring. And I know that's blasphemy, Spock and Kirk, they're amazing. No, my crew is Janeway and Chakotay. Take that, shots fired. Don't worry, I love Captain Picard too. But no, Janeway is my captain. And yeah, it was just fun. So if you want to go over to TerribleWarriors.com, you can check out the adventures of our ship, which I don't know what it's called off the top of my head because I'm not involved in that campaign. But we have Toronto's greatest supervillain, Dr. Holic, or Dr. Terawatt, plays in that, as well as a few other local nerd celebrities. So TerribleWarriors.com, look up Star Trek Adventures. I think you'll have a lot of fun. And the Modiphius books, I think the science division or operations comes out next month in November. For their books, the Beta Quadrant came out this summer, which it's officially licensed by CBS. So whatever they make up, CBS says, okay, cool. And they gave them their own part of the Alpha Quadrant to play in called the Shackleton Expanse. It's something you should really kind of check out, Steve. Like the lore in these books is incredibly well researched. It's something you can tell people who work on this game love the property. The person I've interviewed a person for the show before, I think his name was Sam Webb, and huge lifelong Star Trek nerd, cares about the property a whole. I think he's the line editor or the line developer. And I think Star Trek's in really good hands in terms of the role-playing universe. I'm waiting for the book on the Delta Quadrant to come out at some point next year, because that's my playground. So really, really looking forward to it. So once again, TerribleWarriors.com. Check us out on Patreon, and maybe you'll get a chance to play with us, because we play with fans and Patreons, and maybe you'll get a chance to play Star Trek with us, because it's more fun than you can possibly imagine.
Yeah, that definitely sounds very interesting, just being able to be in that universe, especially the original series.
Yeah, it's so cool. Like I said, I didn't expect Star Trek to grip me like it is, because I'm thinking it's weird, because back then, because when I was playing with my game master, Justin was like, Mike, remember, you're in the 23rd century. So all your fancy techno babble that you think you know, yeah, take it back 100 years. And I'm like, oh, crap. I gotta, oh, man. Because at one point, the saboteur is running through the ship. I'm thinking, ha, well, I'll just use the transporter and I'll grab him. I got his bio signs. Well, he didn't come on the ship that way. He came on board via shuttlecraft. So his pattern isn't in the transport buffer. And I'm thinking, Newman. So I was just so, I was like, oh man, I got to find this guy the old fashioned way. Eventually I shot him in the leg with a phaser, and I'm thinking, buddy, I'm taking you to the brig one way or another. Sick bay or the brig. It's your choice.
You're going down.
Oh, it was so much fun. And then I made him cry like a little girl. It was great. Anyway, so that is my Trek story for this episode.
Funny enough that you mentioned playing in those universes, IDW next year has a comic coming that's a massive crossover event, which brings together four of the Trek crews in a multi-month series starting in January. They're going to have a six-part event that takes the crews of the original Enterprise, the Enterprise D, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, and has them face off in a Q-run competition that spans the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And so Q is essentially toying with all four crews.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's the story comes from Scott and David Tipton, and I'm enthused because it's a dispute between godlike beings threatening the galaxy that'll take all of Starfleet's best captains to stop them. And then all the captains must go head to head in a competition rigged by the arrogant Q and his nigh omnipotent cohorts. So yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that just because it's Q and then he's screwing with all four crews, even though he's never met Kirk's crew. Although if he was Trelane, then
it's quite possible. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So they've had their mix. I like to believe that Trelane is either a member of the Q continuum, or he's Q himself before, you know, he was older. So it would be fun to see him screwing with all four crews anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm enthused for that. So yeah, I think that about rounds it out on Future Imperfect. What do you guys think on the Discovery short treks, and what do you think about the Picard series? Let us know, and you can email us feedback at alteredgeek.com. Just easier that way. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at FCP21 and yourself, sir.
You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at BirdmanDodd.
So until next time.
Oh, right. This is me. I normally sign us out.
Yes.
So from us here at the Future Imperfect, we depart into the stars, taking off into the Shackleton Expanse. Look it up, guys. Until next time, we have been
Steve Megatron Phillips.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, saying live long and prosper. I'll get this right eventually.